Thank you for stopping by to watch and join in the service today. You know, we're so excited to have you with us. We are missing actually that face-to-face real contact, but it's so exciting being online together. And you know, whether you're from Manchester and Salford or whether you're from around the UK, I know there's some folks who will join us from France, Brazil, Lebanon, hey, who knows where else, the States. You know, this online world, it's an exciting place to be. And that God's going to speak to us this morning. So I just want to encourage you to get expectant, you know, to get ready for what God's going to say. You know what? Jesus has given us so much that we need to be thankful for. So over these next few minutes, just open your hearts. Just open your hearts to Jesus. You know, even that just a simple prayer. I just want to take a moment or two to just pray myself. So you pray with me. I'm going to be praying really from Ephesians 1, verse 17 to 19. So give you an idea of how to pray. So let's just pray together. Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord, you gave him to us that we would know you. And so, Father, I pray today that you will fill me and each one of us with the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know Jesus, that we might understand all that you've given us, that we would know the hope to which we're called, the inheritance, our place in the saints, and to know the power that raised Jesus from the dead at work in us. Lord, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that our hearts would be enlightened. Lord, we don't just want head knowledge, we want to know you better. So we just thank you for that in Jesus' name today. Amen. Well, you know, Friday this week marks 75 years from VE Day. You know, that was a day of celebration and life and survival for some, but it was also time for reflecting, remembering for others. You know, so many people dead, so many injured, so many just missing. And today, you know, we may not have the bullets flying around us, bombs dropping us, but for many, the COVID virus, it feels a little bit like the same, that we're in kind of some war zone. You know, many of us are just looking to get through this to survive. And Jesus really wants to help us to do more than just survive. He wants us to thrive. And you know, that Second World War was probably about the last time we saw shops this empty. I don't know about you, it's crazy. I mean, toilet roll being sold at a premium on eBay. I mean, what? How crazy? I think maybe we're just about getting back to normal on that. My son Joe, he went to make pizza this week, and I was really looking forward to it. But he couldn't find any bread yeast for the dough anywhere, so we just bought a shop one instead. And hey, it wasn't quite as good. But you know, this staying at home thing's crazy. Well, I want out. Everything's online. The digital world has become more real than ever. You know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. And don't even talk to me about Zoom. Oh my goodness, how many meetings have I had on Zoom? Click here, like, subscribe. Who are you following? Who's following you? Man, I don't know. I looked up the stats for the person that has been followed the highest, you know, the top ranking people, not companies, but real people, individuals. And footballer Ronaldo, he tops both Facebook and Instagram lists, you know, 122 million on Facebook, 204 million on Instagram. But it's the ex-US President Barack Obama who tops the Twitter lists. But someone I had to look up who, sorry, my generation, I guess, recognizing I don't know everything, but the TikTok person that's the highest is Charlie D'Amelio. So 41 million, sorry. That's just, I mean, that is just crazy number of people watching every move, every comment, copying, buying the same stuff, just influencing so many people. Wow. I don't know about you, but I've never met some of these people. We might follow them, but I don't know who they are. So I have a question today, and I really feel this series, I just felt God was really challenging me to sort of this series. We're calling it Followers. For myself, I'm asking this question as much as I am for you. No, followers, who do you watch? And when you watch, do you just watch, press like, or do you actually subscribe and follow? You know, one of the things that we're always doing is like, hey, if this message spoke to you, like it. If you're getting something from this, press subscribe. Then you'll get the notifications. But follow seems to be like a higher level. You know, it's like actually pay attention, get involved. You know, and I just think that's amazing. But those numbers are just nothing when you think about the world population. Around 7.7 billion people in the world at the moment, and something like 2.4 billion identify as Christian. That's about 33% of the world's population. And compared to Islam, we're about 1.9, maybe 2 billion, so it's about 24-25%. And no religion, agnostic or atheist, is in third place with about 1.1 billion. Then everything else comes after that. So there's a lot of people that say they are one thing or don't really know what they think. Some that say they have no religion, they're probably saying that because they don't have any knowledge or experience to even make a decision. And I think that's one of the things I want to talk a bit today. You know, who do you follow and why? And we're going to look at a guy in the Bible talks about one man's decision to follow Jesus. He's a guy called Bartimaeus. So if you've got your Bibles here, just want to encourage you to open up your Bible or maybe the Bible app on your tablet or phone, and you can read about this guy Bartimaeus. Matthew 20, verses 29 to 34 has a story, the account of him, but we can also read about him in Mark 10, and I'm going to read from Mark 10, and Luke 18 gives us some information. It's one of those stories that has some slight variations. This account of in Matthew is different. You know, it says Jesus was leaving this major town called Jericho, and he meets two blind men. In Luke, we read that he's coming to Jericho, and he meets one blind man. It's only in Mark that we get that little bit of extra information. And I'm going to read a little bit from Mark. Mark tells us this guy's name's Bartimaeus. Last week, Claire and I were telling you about how we bought her engagement ring and everything that happened to us. One thing's for sure, if it was just me telling you what happened, there would be loads of stuff left out. And I would focus on some things. But when Claire tells you, she brings all this extra stuff in, gives information, corrects me. The two accounts of us, you would think sometimes we're talking about a different story. And these accounts from Jesus' life, they have some differences. Sometimes the lawyer in us, or we want to throw out the whole account just because there's differences, just because who's he talking about? Is this the same story? But you know what? The police, when they're investigating a crime, they know if they're hearing a true account because of the differences. Only falsified accounts have exactly the same facts. That's interesting. The police piece together the true story or the true account of what's happening by look at all the corroborating account facts. And so when we read that Matthew says there's two blind people, but Luke and Mark talk about one blind person, it's not that they've got it wrong, but maybe it could just be that one person responded and actually followed Jesus and the other one doesn't. And, like Clara and me, when we're talking, I zone in on the key parts that are key to me. Claire tells me all kinds of stuff that I've totally forgotten, and I laugh about it, but I kind of know she's right. So many people talk about the main people after an event, and I just want us to just think about that. So as we're looking at this. Luke investigated different stories. That's Luke's gospel. He's like, I've investigated, I've looked at this. This is how this story's been written. But Mark wrote his gospel after he'd been working for Peter, the Apostle Peter. He was his PA, and so he had some extra information. I mean, Peter was there after all. So let's just read this account. You know, we're just talking about this man, Bartimaeus, who had an encounter with Jesus. So it's Mark 10, and I'm just reading from verse 46 to 52. So then when they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting at the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith's healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Well, amazing account of this time that this man Bartimaeus meets Jesus. You know, just a bit of background. Jericho is like, it's about 15 miles away from Jerusalem. You know, like Bolton is to Manchester, I guess. It's near the Jordan River. It's a city with a past and not a really very great one. You know, we read about in Joshua that Israel conquered that city first when they entered the promised land. God gave them this promise, told them what to do, and the city was completely destroyed. In fact, actually, it was a city with a curse on it. You know, Joshua put two curses on, saying no one's going to rebuild this place. And that's what you sort of see. This later on, it's fulfilled curse. Someone's son dies when they start foundations, and their youngest son dies when they put the gates in place. And it's just like, wow, crazy place. But it was a place where the rich people went because it had streams there. There was an oasis, palm trees. And it was known as the place where the rich people went. So when we read about Bartimaeus, we read about him, he's outside the city. He's just sat there, side of the road. It's a normal day as far as he was concerned, except something was about to change. You know, can you remember a normal day? I don't know about you, I'm just like, normal seems to have totally changed. You know, we've been only been in lockdown for a month, but just like everything seems out of normal. You know, when can we get back to normal? You know, many are asking that question. When's the new normal going to be back? You know, and Bart, you know, as he's heard about this man Jesus, this man that does miracles, this guy speaks and everything changes. He feeds thousands with one boy's lunch just by speaking over it. He blesses it, hands it out, and feeds loads. Fishermen look just totally incompetent when he's around. I mean, they fish all night, but because he says fish again, they get this super bumper catch that just because he says so. That's a big deal when Jesus is coming by. And it's a big deal today. You know, Jesus got things to say into our lives from this story. And I just want to look at this guy, Bart, because, you know, he's got a problem. He can't see. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us about how that happened. Was he born that way? Did something happen? Nope, nada. There's just no info. That's not really the important part of this story. The big part of this story is what actually happens. What's going on? You see, this blindness, it seems to me that was something more than physical. You know, for us, there aren't many of us that are blind these days. I mean, we wear glasses, contact lenses, get laser surgery for your eyes, all kinds of things are available. So we don't have as much blindness around, or do we? You know, it's fine until you suddenly meet someone who is, and then you suddenly realize, actually, maybe it's not quite as uncommon as we think. But if you ever walked into a room and people just stop talking, you just know they were talking about you. You know, it doesn't matter whether it was good or bad, just the fact that you were the subject matter is enough to stop people talking and for you to freak out. What were they saying? You know, rejection, that feeling of inadequacy. They could have been talking amazing things about you, but you know what? Each one of us, we think the worst. You know, just that's our expectation. We think people are going to say things about us that maybe aren't good. Well, I was doing a bit of Googling about this story, just wanted to help us, and looking at this, and Bartimaeus' name, it came up, because it says here, he's the son of Timaeus. Well, there's three possible meanings for this guy's name. Timaeus, one of it is honourable, so he's a son of honour. Or, it also is another word, is Israelite. So he's an Israelite, well, it's a son of promise, so that's good. But then I have this other meaning that I was reading it, which means foul, defiled, polluted, infamous, especially in a religious sense. And, you know, so how can three names or three meanings affect you? Well, do you know what? I think that's actually, for many of us, where this guy starts to reflect on something of what we go through. You know, we can come from an honourable background or a good family name, or we can have these great expectations. You know, an A student, you know, just our future's bright, you know, everything's looking good. Well, the reality for Bart is he was not getting to live in the good of that family name. You know, he was out begging, trying to scrap for his next meal, just a long, long way from all of that good stuff that his family's name kind of meant. Or even to be an Israelite meant to have promises over your life, to be part of God's plan. I mean, to have a hope and a future. But he wasn't living that kind of life. He was having to take the handouts. He had no value, no reputation, no God, no hope. You know, this is where it starts to kind of affect and be a bit where we're at. You know, sometimes we actually feel that there's no hope, there's no possibility for the future. Where's God? And let me just tell you, God didn't cause this virus. This is not God's doing. You know, the sin and the pollution of sins affected our world. But you see, God wants to turn this around. He wants to help each one of us actually move into something fresh and new. That other name, foul and polluted, hey, I can identify. That's how he must have felt. Sitting outside the city by the roadside where all the dust and the dirt is, just looking for someone, just anyone, please, just one person, stop and care. You know, I've certainly known that. The car breaks down, you have a puncture, you're just like, how am I going to get this wheel off? Or you're walking home in the rain and you just think, oh, if only someone would just drive past, see me and pick me up. Or maybe it's at this time, you know, where people have lost jobs, we don't know what the future looks like, when are we going back? Maybe your friends just don't turn up, don't phone, don't Zoom. You know, you feel alone and helpless. You know, Bart hears people speaking. He hears all the kinds of things going around. It's his Jesus. But he started calling out, his son of David, something started to click. He must have heard something fresh, something different from somewhere else. You know, this... Everyone says Jesus of Nazareth is coming, but he says Son of David. That name, Son of David, it meant something for hope. So something must have been kicking off in his heart. I mean, it's crazy talk to most people. You know, they wanted to stop him, shut him down, quieten him. You know, he's been a nuisance. I tell you, if you've watched our Go Kids video last week, Abraham was just amazing. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, it's one of those questions that kids love to ask, you know, like every 5 minutes. Just can drive you mad. Teach your patience, that's for sure. But I don't know about you, but I'm feeling like lockdown's the same. You know, there's that car journey. I'm supposed to be an adult. I'm going, are we there yet? Can we go back? Hey, bind Bart. You know, He might have been blind, but he had a voice. He could shout. He could reach out. And do you know what? That's the thing. Too many of us, we let our circumstances really hold us back. We are set in our ways. We're limited, restricted, polluted, stuck. But you know, the Bible says that in Psalm 25, it says that no one, this is verse 3, no one whose hope is in the Lord, in you, will ever be put to shame. And you know, God's saying something to us about hope at this time. And in Joel, the prophet Joel, in chapter 2, verse 32, he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. And I just want to look at something of what happened next. You see, Bart didn't just stay shouting. Jesus heard and responds. And I love what I read here. They say, cheer up, he's calling you. Get on your feet, he's calling you. And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet. And we read in Luke, he ran to Jesus. We're like, ran? He's blind, isn't he? I mean, how can he run? Well, Luke actually explains, he ran with his ear, or he was listening as he ran. So he ran to where the voice was coming from. And you know, sometimes I think that's what we need to actually do, is hear God speaking and run to it, respond, begin to push forward for the things that God's actually trying to do. And see, throwing off his cloak was something of his identity. You know, one of the things that I found is I've been trying to research, and I've been trying to make sure I confirm things. And I wasn't able to get this confirmed, but it seems like the cloak was something that you had to have the approval of the temple, so that there was a recognized beggars who were valid, and ones who didn't have a particular type of cloak weren't valid beggars. Well, I can't prove that, but it sounds good, doesn't it? You know, it's like, these days, when you go down the streets, you know, you see people begging, your heart goes out to them. You want to help, but are they valid? Are they really in need? Or are they just, they want some money for a drink, or they're actually going home to their flat, or who knows? Well, we make so many judgments. Well, I'd rather help. I'd get some food, get a drink for that person. That's kind of how I do it. But you know, that throwing off that cloak, you see, here's the identity. See, that cloak was his protection. It was what stopped people when they threw sticks. You know, people are horrible sometimes. They throw stuff at people. Like, cloak would have kept him warm. It would have kept him protected. But also, it would have been where people threw his money. You would put your coat out, that cloak out on the grass, or on the roadside, and people would have thrown the money into it. So throwing his cloak aside was actually almost throwing his money away, throwing his protection away, throwing his identity away, to come to Jesus, running to Jesus, responding to Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want? I mean, kind of seems strange. What do you want? You know, I'm blind, obvious, no eyes, can't see. You know, you'd have thought that it was so obvious, but I think often that's what Jesus is saying. You know, the things that's happening in our life, our identity, the things that we're hooked into, the things that are defining us, you know, feeling polluted, feeling worthless, feeling left on the side, or feeling that we're no longer got honour, feeling that the promises don't relate to us. Jesus was asking you in that moment, what do you believe? What do you want me to do? And Bartimaeus said, I want to see. I'm so excited, you know, that it's something that we've seen in our church. Yeah, one of the young boys in our church, he's now nearly 18. When he was young, he had glaucoma. His eyesight was virtually totally destroyed. And to see that young baby being brought, about 6 months old baby being brought to us, we prayed, we laid hands, we saw his eyesight recovered, an optical nerve that was 90% destroyed. Not just not getting worse, but being completely healed. We saw those eyes over those next few years getting better. Yeah. He is a sign and a wonder to me, a sign. You know, God answers prayer. And, you know, he's in our church. I get to see him grow up. I get to see what's happening. Well, Bartimaeus was told by Jesus, go, you're healed. But he didn't. He didn't return to that old life. He didn't throw off his cloak to then pick it back up. And I just want to encourage you in this. You know, in Hebrews 12 verse 1 says that we're to throw off the sin, the problems, the fears, the doubts that entangle us, and run the race that we're called to. You know, and I often talk about this identity thing, and I often quote 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, which says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. He's, the old has gone, the new has come. There's something shifted, something changed for Bartimaeus. He became a follower of Jesus. Maybe that's why it was two in one story, but the rest of the story only talk about that one. I don't know, it's a conjecture, it's me surmising, I don't know for certain, but I want to be the one that people talk about in the future, that God talks about, the plans that he has for me, and things that he knows that I'm going to do, that future. Well, I want to be a follower. I don't want to just like what God's doing. I don't want to watch from the sidelines. I want to move in the things that God's called me to. And I really believe that God's challenging us. There's a new norm. In fact, let's not build a new norm. Let's walk into the supernatural. Let's walk into the unusual. Let's walk in the extraordinary that God's called us to. Let's not settle back for another norm. Let's raise the game. Let's be followers, not just likers of what Jesus is doing. And so this message this morning, that God's just been speaking to your heart, I really believe he just wants to reset your identity, reset your value, reset your future. I just want to invite you to just pray with me, to open your heart to that future, to reconsider and not let society, events, your past control your future, because your future is bright. You've got an amazing future in Christ. So let's just take a moment, let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. That not just healing, but salvation would be mine. And today, Lord, I put my trust in you. Your word says that the word is near us. It's in our hearts. It's in our mouths, that we might believe it and we might confess it. And so today, I declare Jesus Christ is my Lord. I confess him my Savior. I thank you. He is my healer. He is my future. He is my identity. He is the one that I want to follow for the rest of my life. And I want to be active in that, Jesus. So I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, to teach me how to walk those right paths with you, to walk in the ways that please you, to do the things that you have prepared in advance for me to do. Lord, I am a follower today. I choose to be a disciple. I choose to be one who doesn't let circumstances dictate, but your word dictate. I will let your word tell me how to live, how to think, how to grow. And I thank you that your word is alive, powerful and active in my heart. And I just submit my will, I submit my heart, my thinking to you today. Help me by grace to follow you. Amen. Well, if you prayed that, you know, that prayer, maybe the first time God has just helped you just shift the whole of your future into a new way. You're a Christian. You need to tell someone. Ring us, connect with us, send us an email, manchester@gochurch.cc. You can connect with us. We'd love to know. but connect with a local church. Also, you know that scripture that we're just saying about identity. God wants you to learn what that new identity is. And we've got a gift that we'd like to send you that will help you discover who you are in Christ. What does that mean to be a Christian? Well, for us as a disciple, it's an ongoing adventure. It's not a one-time event. It's a lifetime of following Jesus. And so the rest of this series, Followers, is going to come up in the next few weeks. And just encourage you, tune in, listen, write down some notes, text us, email a question if you've got any. We want to hear from you. Let us know how God's blessing you. Have a really good day. Listen to the notices that come next.